Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
God, something extinct in here. Do you smell that?
Oh, did you step in Dodo?
This is stranger still.
Is that?
You knew exactly where I was going. Welcome to Stranger Still,
a podcast where we think about animals and we go, aw.
We've been doing that a lot lately, haven't we?
I think about animals very often, Nicholas.
Me too. I think about them a lot. I think about red pandas a lot. And throughout this episode, I found some new favorite animals, but unfortunately, they're no longer with us. That's really sad.
You know what else is no longer with us, Nicholas?
What's that?
You introducing yourself.
I'm Nick Wood.
And I'm John Deegan.
Nice save there. How are you doing, man?
The worst I can. Well, one of them.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, life's awful, but that's why we're going to talk about cute, cuddly animals that are dead.
You know...
Cheer everybody up and bring them right back down.
Cheer everyone up and just remind people how awful humans are.
Oh, yes, in this hell of an earth.
Yeah, because we're going to talk about animals that once lived but are no longer living, also known as...
extinct.
Animals that have gone extinct. And we could talk about, like, dinosaurs or... the water-faring animals that existed when the dinosaurs were around 65 million years ago. But I decided to go a different route with it and pick out animals that had an interesting story attached to them. Like, we all know about the meteor that took out the dinosaurs. We all know about the Ice Age and how that transformed a lot of animals.
We all know about the gazelle that literally had that book glued to them, story attached to them.
Oh,
you know what?
You,
it's just a warm-up. It's just a warm-up. They'll get better.
They'll get better. But John, did you know humans are just awful and have led to the extinction of many, many species over the years?
Yeah, but the economy, Nick.
That's true. Capitalism reigns supreme. And we won't talk about just animals that humans have killed off. There's one in here that humans didn't lead to the destruction of. But that's also because there's... A lot of unique ways that humans have killed off animals that I think are important to learn about. Is that fair to say?
I think that's fair. And let me put a little prerequisite. It's like a record.
Excuse me.
It's like a record scratch.
Prerequisite.
Yeah, exactly. I've been listening to 1491, a book recommended by friend of the show, Joshua Clark from Stuff You Should Know. And there's a lot of cool stuff in there. Like, one of the things I might just debunk it right off the bat, like... Native Americans most likely did not cause buffalo extinction.
No.
That was not a thing. That's a myth. Little teaser right there. But there's a lot of really cool animals that used to like just hang out, be terrifying, do cool stuff that we no longer have. As early back as 1491 and on. 1500s, all that.
Yeah, I don't think that I went back that far. The farthest back... Our topic goes today is the 1600s, but it's similar stories. And of course, the farther back you go, the more myths have popped up about some of these animals.
I mean, that's far enough back that they spelled old with an E on the end. So I think that counts.
Can you imagine?
You don't even hear it. Why did they do that?
The ampersand was still a part of the alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria. For all the Ghostbusters fans out there. So I want to define extinct, and not like in a Webster dictionary way, but it's important. If you go to like a zoo, we've talked about with David, accredited zoos will talk about conservation efforts, and they'll have a classification of the animal on a scale from like extinct in the wild to not evaluated. So there's different conservation statuses that animals can be in. The least worrisome one of them is not evaluated. Like, they haven't... Like, it'd be like...
What about the mosquitoes? Oh, no.
Yeah, we know they're fine. We're not going to collect data on them. The one below that is data deficient, so they've started collecting data, but we can't make any discernible charts about their vulnerability.
Yeah.
There's least concern, which would be like if they went out and actually got numbers of mosquitoes. There's near threatened, vulnerable, endangered, critically endangered,
and
extinct in the wild.
And legendary, like the ultra rare status.
Yeah, they're holographic.
Mm-hmm. And holographic.
There's extinct in the wild and then just extinct. So extinct in the wild means there's none more outside of a zoo, basically. And what they do is teams of researchers will go out and they'll survey specific species of animals. And I think we talked about this in the AI episode, like they're using AI to help these efforts. But based on their findings and the change in population over a period of time, that basically decides where the species is going to be. So like a while back, they went and surveyed, I don't know, let's make up a...
Well, I heard that there was a like an extinct ape and they use an app called SurveyMonkey.
Oh, sure.
That's a joke for everybody working from home.
Yeah. Well, it's just like if they go out and there's like 100 of this and then 10 years later they come back and there's 10 of them, there's been a 90% drop in this species. They're obviously going to be on the critically endangered. But if it's like 10 million and it goes down to 9 million, there's nothing to worry about yet. Or it might end up like when they went out to look for West African black rhinos and then they found none. So it's declared extinct because we don't have any in zoos or anything and we can't find any, so they're probably no longer existent. What a great note to start off on, right?
That's sad. Legitimately.
So on that note, should we hop into this?
Yeah.
Are you feeling excited?
Yeah.
Are you feeling randy?
Oh God. Don't say it, Nick.
Do you want to take an aphrodisiac?
Oh, we're going to talk about rhino horns.
How about a ground up rhino horn? I'm actually going to combine. There's two rhino species that have gone extinct. There's the northern white rhino and the West African black rhino. Africa, there's other subspecies like the southern white rhino that's still in existence. But the last two northern white rhinos were in a zoo or conservation area, and they were both female. So there was no way that we could keep the species going on, and they died in 2018, and they were the last ones. But way back in the day, of course, there was like millions of rhinos across existence, probably like 500,000 living at any one time wandering around. And then we colonized Africa and people started poaching rhinos. I think we all know about this. It really hit a peak in the 70s and 80s, like 1970s and 1980s, because the rhino population was noticeably dwindling. The West African black rhino was declared extinct in 2006. I already mentioned the northern white rhinos were officially declared, or the last two died in 2018. But this one is really tragic because rhinos are being poached because there are cultures in Asia like Yemen and China where they believe that if you grind up a rhino horn and put it in your medicine, it can cure an illness or cancer or act as an aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
The thought being you grab a horny animal, the rest follows suit.
Okay, that was very tasteful. Wow. What a time to be alive, Nick. Think about all the tragedy that we're going to endure. Do you think if there's going to be a future, they'd look back on this and think, wow, in their lifespan, there was like all these animals that died, everything crashed. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that long ago, 70s and 80s.
You guys remember when there was animals and not just humans?
Mm-hmm.
They sell for something like $200,000 on the black market, according to one article that I was reading.
Well, the only thing that makes me feel better when I hear that is that someday someone's going to ask that same question about, mm-hmm. Do you remember when there were humans but not just robots? You know? Yeah. Beep, bop, bop, bop.
Remember there was real sun and not just this digital sun that someone programmed in and we uploaded our consciousness into?
Yeah, but it's in 6K, Nick.
That's true. The refresh rates are unbelievable. Dude, there's like a three millisecond delay. Can you believe it? What's wrong today?
Yeah.
So I can't remember where we talked about this before, but we talked about how one of the ways people are fighting against poaching rhinos is to dye their horns. Do you remember when we talked about that?
Yes.
I don't remember what the topic was, though.
472 days ago, it was about do animals care about beauty products?
Oh, animal testing, yeah. I don't think we went this in depth. Probably not. What they are actually doing is they're injecting the horn with anti-parasites, and it doesn't hurt the rhinos because their horns are like their fingernails. It's not being absorbed into their body. But when the horn is then, when the rhino's killed and the horn is ground up, it's slightly to maybe seriously poisonous to the person that consumes it. There's this article on PRI.org, one of the co-founders of the Rhino Rescue Project, Lorena Hearn, said, at a minimum, it would start with diarrhea, nausea, vomiting, and severe headaches, all the way up to nervous symptoms, which could be permanent. Some ectoparasiticides also precipitate the development of cancers later on in life, which I don't wish that upon anyone, but if you're poaching rhinos...
I don't know. I'm having a hard time having empathy for anyone these days.
That's true.
Sounds pretty fair if you're going to kill a rhino to take its body parts so you can get an erection. But
and it,
who am
it
I
doesn't
to
even
say?
Do that.
Yeah.
We need to do an episode on aphrodisiacs. Write that down.
Okay. I did in my brain.
Perfect. It's etched in there in the bumps in your...
In my pineal cranium. Gland.
Oh, talking about pineal glands. Watch From Beyond.
Oh, yeah. He passed Staying away this year, the director of that, just to add to
he
the
did?
Tragedy. Oh. Yeah.
Come on, man. We got to add some... lightheartedness into this.
We'll think
so why
of,
not?
We'll think of something nice to say at the end of the episode after the break.
Oh, sure. Way later. Staying in Africa a little bit longer, there's another species I wanted to talk about. That's the quagga. I hope I'm saying that right. They had actually made a resurgence in recent years as in terms of popularity. They're like these beautiful creatures that are half horse, half zebra. Like their heads have zebra stripes and then their bodies are mostly brown with like few stripes, if any.
Mm-hmm.
If you search it like a Google image search, you'll fall in love with these things. They're just majestic creatures, and I won't spend too much time on them because their story is pretty straightforward. They went extinct because of humans hunting them for leathers and foods. Quaggaproject.org, which is actually leading a conservation effort on quaggas, which I'll get to in a second, also mentioned that at the time, colonists in the 1800s were taking over Africa, which may have led to their extinction because quagga would graze on vegetation, and the colonists saw this as competition for their livestock, so they went through and they got rid of them, and they actually went extinct in the 1800s. But here's the interesting part. Scientists figured out that they weren't actually a separate species. They figured out that they're possibly a subspecies of zebra, and they did this by the Cape Town University. They started selectively breeding zebras that had genetic markers that could be connected back to the quagga, and were actually able to bring them back.
Yeah.
Like they might not be a carbon copy of what they once were. There's no way that we can prove that, I don't think. But they have like six of them as of 2016, they had six of them living on their campus. Not the Cape Town, but they had them in their possession. I don't know how to say that. But yeah, I think that this is one of the success stories, which is very interesting to even say about an extinct animal. And I think increasing awareness about them is one way that you can help their resurrection efforts. There's a little bit of controversy about it that we'll talk about at the end. But like everybody knows about rhinos and tigers, but not everyone knows about quaggas.
Bears, oh my?
Yeah.
Oh.
Rhinos and tigers and quaggas, oh my. But now they're back from the brink. Educate people. Look them up. Share pictures. I think other people will enjoy seeing these as well. That's just my thoughts. Did you look up Google images?
Oh,
of them?
Yeah. I'm looking at all of these quaggas, dude. These are good quaggas.
They're awesome, man. Quality quaggas.
Quality quagga JPEGs, man. I even got some PNGs in here. Look at this.
Oh, man, with the transparent background?
Oh, yeah, but it's not transparent. I tried to drag it.
So, enough about... crappy human related extinction. Should we go back a few thousand years, because that's how far back we have to go
a few
before humans are
involved? Quagmires, isn't that the time frame? Is that true?
No.
How long is a quagmire? Isn't that a time?
That's, no.
Yeah,
quagmire is like an enigma.
A soft boggy area of land. Yeah, like I said. Sure, Nick, let's hear about it.
We were both wrong. So you've heard of the saber-toothed tiger?
I've heard of him.
I could be wrong, but I think there's this moment in everyone's childhood where they learn about the saber-toothed tiger and they're like, whoa, it's the coolest thing to ever live. But then you grow up and you learn about red pandas and learn to love animals that are actually cool, like a real person.
Yeah, like actual Pokemon exists, like a red panda.
Like a red panda, yeah.
Yeah.
They are, for those that don't know, a saber-toothed tiger was a species of megafauna, which is a fancy way of saying like a giant version of something we have today, like a cat. And if you go, there was many different megafauna cats. If you go back millions of years, they lived on what is now Africa. But more recently, we found fossil records of saber-toothed tigers that lived in North America as recently as 12,000 years ago. And the interesting thing is they died out while other species from around the time, like bison, lived on. They took on mammoths and giant, like, four-ton sloths, and their jaws could open up 120 degrees. Surely they're at the top of the food chain, right? So what happened? For a while, people thought that as the ice age ended, the change in climate at the time and the emerging humans might have put a strain on their food supply. And the reason they thought this
is because ice age is 2 hours long, and it's so easy to eat so much food when you're watching Ice Age.
Was that animated by, who was that, DreamWorks or Blue Sky? Or am I wrong entirely? Hang on.
I thought you were doing research. I thought this was peer-reviewed, Nicholas. What kind of garbage are you throwing at me right now, not knowing that Ice Age was obviously a Blue Sky movie? There we go.
Ha ha, I was right.
I knew that. So I said that without stumbling.
You had to search your brain. Yeah. So the reason that they thought this, though, was because we found many fossils of saber-toothed tigers with broken teeth, which might not sound like a lot, but based on what we know of modern-day big cats, if a big cat's food supply starts to dwindle, they will eat more of the carcass of the animals they eat, whereas if there's plenty of food around, they'll just eat what they need and move on. Mm-hmm. And then scavengers will come and pick off the parts. So if they're eating more of their prey, they're having to get through more of the carcass. They're having to chew through a lot more bones. And when they're chewing through these bones, they have like almost foot-long teeth. The bigger they are, the more brittle they are. Those teeth are going to break. So the idea was they're eating more of the carcass of the animals later on in their life, so their food supply ran out. However, and this is where it just gets crazy, these people are so freaking smart, they went through and looked at saber-toothed tiger fossils that they found in the La Brea tar pits, and they, upon closer inspection, if the saber-toothed tigers were eating more of the carcass, they would have found micro wear on the teeth, just like little abrasions that you'd see under a microscope. You might see big cracks and breaks, but what you're really looking for is like years and years of micro wear on these teeth. You see it in hyenas and some lions in modern day. Mm-hmm. They didn't see any micro wear on these fossils. What they believe now was in order to take down a woolly mammoth, you have to strike that thing pretty hard. There'd be instances where they'd probably break their foot-long teeth. Entirely possible. But what they concluded was their food supply likely wasn't sparse. So humans probably didn't put a strain on their food supply. Could have been just that evolution...
Convenient.
...made it...
Not a convenient excuse.
For humans. Hey, we got to have one success here. Yeah. Ultimately, they decided that we can't conclude what wiped out the saber-toothed tigers, but it likely wasn't a lack of food.
Okay.
Which
well,
is
one,
good for us.
I want to make sure that we don't get in trouble for saying microwave, because that's...
Is that copyrighted?
Yeah, it's a company that... It's a wearable, like, microwavable popcorns, wearable...
Oh.
You know, microwavable meals.
Jiffy Pop went 50-50 on that venture, didn't they?
And then second, I do have a theory, actually, based on my own research, Nicholas. I know you did a lot of work, but I do have mm-hmm. Google Images, so if I could just throw this... Uh-huh. I don't know if this is going to work, Nicholas, if you just wanted to take a look at... I like to call Exhibit A. So let me just throw this in our Facebook message real quick.
Okay.
This is a possible...
Thanks for letting people know we use Facebook. Jeez.
So right here... is a possible extinction for the saber-toothed tiger that I found in Google Images.
Okay.
Peer-reviewed.
Here's what I'm seeing. It looks like a photograph.
Okay.
Of what is a large saber-toothed tiger on its back.
Right.
With maybe the Matterhorn in the background. Mm-hmm. And on top of this fallen saber-toothed tiger appears to be...
You might say conquered.
Be,
yeah.
A conquered saber-toothed tiger appears to be a young...
Supple
Richard Nixon wearing brass knuckles.
Right. That's correct, Nicholas.
So you think he took the saber-toothed tiger down?
I'm not saying that I think that. I'm saying it's on the internet, and now you've seen it.
Hmm. And I have to live with that memory.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
It'll be in the show notes on StrangersListShow.com.
Oh.
Don't forget.
Great. I'm going to forget. I don't want that. You know what? That'll be our thumbnail. Is that a bad idea?
Oh, we got to credit the artist.
Yeah. You know what else is as cool as tigers? A different tiger that's not actually a tiger, the Tasmanian tiger. Do you like my transitions today?
Mm, they go down real smooth, like dry popcorn.
Like Pepto-Bismol. Not to be confused with the Tasmanian devil. They are both marsupials, and the Tasmanian devil is in danger, but the Tasmanian tiger is unfortunately fully extinct. And for this, we have to obviously travel all the way to Tasmania. There used to be this adorable, like, dog-sized marsupial, and it got its name of the tiger because it has stripes along its rear end. It's actually kind of adorable, if not a little intimidating. More appropriately, they're called thylacine. That's what their proper name is.
Mm.
Back in the 1800s, there was about 5,000 of these roaming Tasmania, and that is until the Fire Nation attacked. And that, by that, I mean the Europeans started to colonize the island. It's a similar story to the quagga. Unfortunately, there was what is referred to as a planned extinction, but this has a little bit more history around it. As the colonists came down to Tasmania, a lot of their livestock started to die off. And apparently, this was actually due to feral dogs of the region and poor planning that killed off their livestock. Like, they weren't managing their farms well. And they blamed it on the Tasmanian tiger. And this program started around 1830, where farmers of the area paid into a pool. They would put money in this pot. Mm-hmm. And for every dead Tasmanian tiger that a hunter brought in, they'd be paid handsomely from this fund.
Was it a big fund?
It was a very big fund.
And they were farmers?
Yes.
Would you consider them big pharma?
Yes, I would.
Another reason not to trust big pharma. Go on, Nicholas.
So by the time this program was shut down in 1909, 2,180 bounties on Tasmanian tiger pelts had been paid, which is almost half of the population at the time.
Yeah, and that is actually, if I look at my notes here, 100% awful.
It is 100% awful. Thank you for doing the math on that. By the 1920s, 3,500 Tasmanian tigers had been killed by humans. So what happened to the remaining 1,500, you may be asking yourself? Well, as will become a problem in our next animal story, the colonists brought some things with them from Europe, such as new diseases that transferred to the Tasmanian tigers, like mange, which eventually leads to them dying off. They also introduced feral dogs and dingoes to the area that weren't exactly native at the time, and they began eating the typically docile Tasmanian tiger, eventually leading to their complete extinction. Great stuff.
You can hear my head shaking, right?
Yeah.
The whoosh.
The last known Tasmanian tiger died in the Beaumarie, I assume is how it's pronounced, zoo in 1936.
Wow.
And in 1937, the Animals and Birds Protection Board of Tasmania put out a call asking if anyone had spotted a Tasmanian tiger and gotten no responses. So it's effectively extinct. There have been claims of people saying they've seen them over the last several decades, but
people
still classify
also make claims that our Earth is flat, Nick. So
they also make claims that Sasquatch is real, which is funny because I forgot to mention this, I'm wearing a shirt from my friend slash listener Hannah. She listens to this show, so she knows how much I love cryptids. She got me a shirt with Bigfoot's shadow on it, his silhouette, and it says hide and seek champion.
Oh, nice.
It's really good. It's funny that that guy brought up. So, humans are pretty stupid if they think it's a good idea to get rid of such an amazing creature and go through such lengths to lead to its demise. But you know what else is dumb? The dodo bird.
It probably wasn't. So you know this. You're going to debunk it, right? It's very intelligent, smarter than an octopus, and we killed it to eat it. I get it.
Yeah.
Just lay it on me.
Well, so you know the story of the dodo bird, right? Everyone's like, they showed up on this island and they weren't afraid of humans, so all the humans ate them, right?
Yeah, and then they were about to evolve, too. There was Dodrio and Doduo, right?
Yeah. You give them like 10 more levels, but no, they didn't want to go to Cinnabar Island and farm rare candies by catching Massigno. That's their loss.
Ha! Huh.
That was Cinnabar Island, wasn't it?
I think so.
So, the story of the dodo bird, which is often cited, is that in the 1600s, the Dutch colonized an island east of Madagascar called, I practiced saying this earlier and I can't say it, Mauritius.
Wow.
Ooh. That was really easy to say.
Yeah.
Mauritius. It was uninhabited up until then. There were several explorers that had visited it, but no one actually settled there until the Dutch set up settlements in the 1600s.
Mauritius is also what you name your child if you want them to be on Slytherin.
That's true. They'll hate every kid named Harry on principle.
This sounds so mysterious.
Mauritius. Maybe that's more of a Ravenclaw, but what am I to say? So when the Dutch showed up, the dodos, having never seen a human before, weren't afraid of them. And even as they started to get hunted and eaten, they were just so stupid that they let themselves get eaten into extinction. At least that's how the legend goes, John. And that's why they get the reputation for being dumb. And it's really frustrating because the History Channel tells this story. Strangely enough, I found it on Mother Jones. They were telling this story and they're like right below the article where they say this, they're like, Mother Jones was founded to have integrity in journalism and blah, blah, blah. But then you put out myths like this. There's evidence from the BBC that the BBC reported on in 2016 that tells a much different and more interesting story. First of all, every legend that is out there about dodo birds is wrong. Based on some MRI scans done on their skulls, we've determined that they are actually probably pretty smart based on comparisons to modern birds. It's true that they hadn't seen a human, but an ancestor of theirs likely flew over from Madagascar or Africa, and their flight evolved away, and those old birds may have seen humans. There's also this conception that dodos were really plump and meaty because a lot of these stuffed and taxidermized dodos of the 1600s were really plump. But in reality, they were probably really lean and scrappy birds. Basically, dodos probably weren't hunted to extinction because there wouldn't have been a lot of meat on them, so it wouldn't have been worth it to hunt them. Add to that, they found garbage sites on Mauritius where the Dutch would put remnants of their meals that they had eaten. So if they ate like a hog or something, they'd put the pig bones in this pit. Across the entire garbage site, there wasn't one dodo bone. So it's highly unlikely they ate dodo birds.
Lastly, digging through that garbage pit.
Can you imagine? The island was covered in a thick rainforest where the dodos lived. They lived inside the thick of it, and the Dutch hunters likely didn't go out seeking dodos just for sport if they weren't eating them. So what happened, John?
We probably killed them for fun because we're terrible, right? Is that what we're leaning towards? Are we just gonna admit that? Did other animals eat them? Did we hunt an animal that wasn't supposed to eat them?
No, you were right with the other one. So one thing I think they should teach more in schools is when people went around colonizing different places, they talk about like smallpox and stuff, but rarely do they talk about invasive species. And it's not until like later in your life that you learn how dangerous invasive species are. And just to clarify, those are species that aren't native to the area. Like, did you know earthworms aren't native to Minnesota and all the fishing that's done up there has introduced them to the area and it's very harmful for tree life?
No, now I do.
Now you know. The colonizers that came from Europe to Mauritius brought rats with them, basically. Rats are a native species of Europe, and those rats would get into everything, including the boats that were being used to colonize these different areas. And as they land on an island like Mauritius, the rats have nowhere to go except for onto the island. And unfortunately, these rats are quick. They're smaller, so they can get into more areas, especially quicker and smaller than the dodo. And all of a sudden, the dodo is being out-competed for food. This is a small island far off the coast of Africa. that has been carefully crafted. This ecosystem has been evolved to work. And all of a sudden, you have this rat that didn't grow up there that is able to outcompete these animals that were built around this ecosystem. And now the dodo birds have nothing to eat. Add to that the fact that these rats were going around eating all of the dodo bird eggs.
Oh, no.
So not only were the living dodos dying off because they couldn't eat, any dodos to be were then being destroyed by these rats that the Dutch had brought over. What's crazy to me, though, is the Dutch showed up in, like, the 1630s. The dodos were extinct by the 1660s.
Wow, that didn't take long at all.
30 years.
That's like, there's a very small couple of century gap from the like the late 1400s to the very, very, very early 1500s in mm-hmm. the book 1491 mm-hmm. that we did just about the same thing to like 10 species all across old America back when in the day.
Oh yeah.
It's just insane how quickly these things can take place, and it's due to invasive species, overhunting, and well, not just overhunting, but just invasive species take a big impact on that too.
Yeah, in the Caribbean we did it to like the monk seal, we did it to the passenger pigeon. Here's in these medley episodes where I pick several things to talk about, I always come up with like 10 different things I want to talk about, and every time I'm like, I'll go through them really quick, and then I start to build my notes, and I'm like 6 pages in, and I'm like, well, I gotta cut something.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about golden toads, passenger pigeons, Spix macaw, Caribbean monk seals, and Schomburg's deer. So if you like this episode, let us know, we can cover those other five. But it begs the question, John, why do we even care? This is what website? I don't remember which website this was. It was like Reader's Digest or something. I should probably get the right website here. Yeah, it was Reader's, no, Popular Mechanics had this quote in there that said, people didn't believe that God would take away a creature's existence after having gone through the trouble of creating them. So no one was truly alarmed at their disappearance. And this was about the dodo. So why do we care? No. If
that's the most angering answer it could possibly
well, what there's I think it's also important to note that there are people, and it gets talked about every year, there's people going through the efforts of trying to clone these animals to bring them back to existence, and that brings with it a lot of controversy. Not even cloning, just like reverse engineering them with the quagga, taking the parent species and trying to recreate the subspecies. There's people say, well, they died off, why, they obviously don't fit into our ecosystem anymore, why try to bring them back? I think that is a horrible state of mind to be in, because there's a lot of animals being taken out by climate change, and if you don't believe that climate change is real, can't we all agree that going into an area and disrupting this beautifully crafted ecosystem that took thousands and in some instances millions of years to find a balance, and we're just like, hey, I don't like that dog, I'm gonna kill all of them. Can we just all agree that that's a really awful thing to do?
I mean, you got I could respond, they can't, no one else can respond. I agree,
go for it.
So you got 100% approval.
Yeah. I think the other thing too to consider is that a lot of these animals are important to the greater ecosystem. It's not just the animals that are important. Like, rhinos are grazers, so they go around keeping the plant life balanced. They're making sure like plants don't grow out of control, but they also trample the seeds that plants give off and start the growing process for some plants. Like, you can't just throw seeds down in your garden and have a tomato plant grow. You have to stick it underground, and that doesn't happen in nature unless a rhino comes by and steps on it. And now we no longer have the northern white rhino to do that for us. That's just one example.
Yeah, I mean,
so get your heads out of your asses
and out of the sand,
and realize, like, and out of the sand, and realize this is a bad thing.
Yeah. I was gonna just say, like, I mean, there are some things that maybe it is their time to go, you know, like capitalism or
humans.
Sure.
I will say it might not be the end of the story for all of these. Like, people have looked at a lot of these and said, hey, can we clone them? We talk about the woolly mammoth all the time. We've talked about the dodo for centuries. But the problem with like the dodo is they all died in the tropic, and the tropic isn't a very good area for fossils to form, so we can't grab any DNA, even though it's well within like the half-life of being able to retrieve DNA.
Yeah,
we just can't do it because there's no fossils. But for things like the Tasmanian tiger or something like that that we could clone, I forgot where I was going.
they get upset that it's we're playing with nature. Is that still a thing?
Oh yeah, that's 100% part of it.
I can see that dying out though as our younger generation really takes over. So.
But the other thing is these animals might still exist out there. Like, look at the coelacanth. Have you heard of those things?
Yeah.
They're like the huge, like, I don't know how long they are, 6 feet long fish that we thought went extinct with the dinosaurs 65 million years ago.
Whenever I see them, I just want to read Rainbow Fish, the book.
They kind of look like that.
Yeah.
They got weird fins. But they were rediscovered in 1938, just off the coast of Australia, I think. There's tons of examples. There's like the Papua New Guinea Highland wild dog that they rediscovered. I believe they brought them into a conservation captivity, bred them, and were re-releasing them into the wild. But they found them. They're still alive after we thought that they were gone. So
I'm sorry. Hold on.
It's possible.
What was that recent discovery? Was that a coelacanth as well? There was a
maybe.
There's a, I don't know if it was, let me just double check this real quick. 2002, maybe?
Maybe.
2011. Plan for, no, maybe not. There's another animal that we just discovered recently, thought was an extinct fish. I thought it was a coelacanth.
Oh, I thought that was 1934. Hang on. I mean, it's possible that they just found like a new one, because over the years, the first one was in 1938, and then I guess they found another one in like 1952, and there's just been a few of them popping up here and there. If you think of it, we'll just do an episode on it. How about that?
Okay, yeah, sure.
So, man, what a depressing note to end on. After the break, should we talk about what animals you would unextinct if you had the power?
Yes, sir. Let's do that. That sounds good.
Let's do that. Be right back. John!
Nicholas!
Where can people find us?
StrangerStillShow.com.
Dun-dun-dun. You can also go to Facebook. That's where all of our stuff happens. It's been hopping the last couple of days.
Oh, yeah.
You've been posting stuff. Other people have posted stuff.
That's how the internet works.
I go through and like them all because I do like them. Like you posted the Pentagon declassifies the UFO stuff. I think we've talked about that before. What was the other one on here that was really interesting?
The Pentagon just declassified that today or yesterday, I think.
Very recently, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, go there and interact with us and other listeners of the show. One thing I forgot to talk about is the animals that we think are dead and then aren't are called Lazarus species. So I just wanted to plug that in there before someone's like, they're called Lazarus species, dummy. So, John, if you could create a Lazarus species, what would you choose?
That big scary shark that's in all those photos. What's his name?
God, no.
Megalodon?
Megalodon, yeah.
I would want it to evolve to have intelligence so I can worship it. And maybe you can walk on land or something. That'd be cool.
I think that's almost the plot of the Meg starring what's-his-face.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What's his name?
I don't know. I've never seen it. I just listened to a Flophouse episode.
I watched it on a plane.
Wow. That's very Flophouse of you. That's very on-brand.
I know. It. I watched that and Jurassic Park Lost World on a plane, and I'm glad I didn't pay for it. Let's just say that.
No,
the megalodon freaks me out.
Yeah, no, that would be bad. Honestly, it would be like, wouldn't it be cool to see just a little dinosaur? Maybe not one of those little flesh-eating ones, but like one of those ones that eat a bunch of plants. Yeah, like Compsognathus.
Those are called.
Maybe a
No. Those are the little guys at the beginning of
Jurassic Park that eat
wait,
that little
I think
girl.
I said the wrong dress. Yeah, that's the Lost World. What's the new Jurassic Park? I said the wrong one earlier. Fallen Kingdom. Lost World's the second one. I watched Fallen Kingdom on a plane.
Okay. Well, I just Googled
Lost World's not
friendly
good
dinosaurs, so I make sure no one of the scary ones pop up.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's some pictures of kids riding on a raptor's back. That seems pretty cute. Maybe a raptor. Something friendly, like this big fluffy T-Rex boy. He doesn't even have big arms. He can't even scratch you.
You know, I saw a picture of the newest theory of the T-Rex is that the little arms were vestigial and covered up by the feathers, so you wouldn't even be able to see them, so they wouldn't even use them. They were just vestigial. But wow. If you want a friendly dinosaur, you could go with like a Stegosaurus or a Eobrontosaurus or a Diplodocus or a... Man, there's so many options of plant eaters.
I only want one that I could like ride on its back. Stegosaurus seems too dangerous.
Pachycephalosaurus. Yeah, those would be good options for you.
Yep.
Here's the problem is that's a good idea. Like you could find a mosquito trapped in ember and take out the DNA, except the half-life of DNA is only like 2 million years or something like that. I can't remember the exact figure. And all the dinosaurs died out 65 million years ago. So even if you found a mosquito trapped in DNA, which we have, then the DNA wouldn't be in there because it's gone. It's just removed from existence.
So what do you think is like on the verge of us not being able to clone them then? That was around 2 million years ago.
Woolly mammoth species. Woolly mammoth, I think those were around like 12,000 years ago or so. Those are like a recent extinction. I think we could still do those. On the verge would be like, man, some of the megafauna for sure. Maybe a sloth or something. I don't know what existed 2 million years ago. There's a lot of water animals from that time period. I know that. That's all I got.
A giant guinea pig. It was called the Josephortasia menesi.
Oh, yeah. It rolls right off the tongue.
Mm-hmm. We can get that, I guess. Oh, it's nice. Yeah. Nice. Looks scary.
You know what I actually want is a dodo bird. I know it's obvious, but we could totally do it if we found some old bones of theirs. I think they're adorable.
Yeah, they are pretty cute.
And maybe it's just because I've been playing a lot of Animal Crossing lately and they run the airports, but I think that they are just the greatest.
Yeah. Would you still want to do that if they all had Gilbert Gottfried's voice? Like all the time and they just... it throws a little bit of a wrench in your plan, doesn't it?
It does. It makes them hard to swallow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little scratchy. Mm. Yeah. But we will never know until we clone them.
Yeah, I guess so. And until then, I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
And this is Stranger Still.